I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm your very proud host, Frankie D, and we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com on iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us and follow us on all these social media outlets. My guest today is Margaret Fucillo, who is the author of My North End Family Stories, La Gioia e il Dolore. Margaret, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Please call me Peggy.
You know that we must have a mental telepathy because that was my first question. I was going to say, do you prefer Peggy? Yeah. Because on the book, it's written Margaret.
Yes, it is.
Peggy, so you prefer Peggy.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Margaret. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Peggy. All right, Peggy, tell me about where the family's from in Italy, please.
Okay, so my father's family is from Chiusano di San Domenico in Avellino, which is a province of Campania, which capital is Naples, to give you a real zoom in where we're from. And it's up in the mountains. It got hit very hard during the earthquakes. Whole family was from there. My grandfather was born, this is true, in 1849. And he came here in 1881. And he was a bird of passage. So he came, he worked, he went back, he came, he worked, and he went back. And then he brought up, during those comebacks, he got kids. The kids were born. So there were four brothers, and they all came here. My father was born in 1898, and he was the only one that was born in the States. He was born in Boston. But there was like a generation gap between the first three brothers and him. My oldest.
That makes sense because.
Yeah, exactly.
His grandfather was born in 1849.
He was 100. If he had lived, he would have been 100 when I was born.
Wow. That is a big gap of years.
Yeah. And it was. A change of life baby, all of that. But he saved every penny, as all the immigrants did at the time that they had a job. But he had three sons that could work at that time. So when they came over here, and they came in 1891 with my grandmother, and they bought a house. They bought a tenement on Fleet Street in the North End, and in 1893.
So, if I may interrupt, I was reading it in your book.
Yeah.
Oh. And not to get too far ahead, but that is a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah.
In those years.
Yeah, there. This was on Fleet Street in the North End, and this was close to the water side, and I mean the North End isn't big. Oh, North End is like 3/4 of a square mile. And they had 40,000 people living there. So it was tight quarters.
Really? That's all it is, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably not including the waterfront. Have you been to Boston?
Shockingly, and I'm embarrassed to answer no. And when I tell you I want to visit so bad, and I will, and if all goes well in life within the next year of my life, I will be going to Boston.
Okay, well, keep us informed.
Absolutely, yes.
We'll take you around. So the waterfront basically was for the fishermen, for warehousing, et cetera. Now it's all, you can't afford it. Like the Boston Bruins live there, that kind of thing. So I don't think that's included in that 3/4. So it's 0.36. It says in the book. So, but that has been all developed into exclusive. They kept the granite, so they had some sort of integrity too. But you know, nobody's doing commercial business down there. It's all high rent area or condos, et cetera. Look, even my house, if we didn't sell my house, I'd be like a gazillionaire, you know, four stories of tenement in downtown North End is probably, you know, if it's a redo, is probably almost 2 million, you know, per floor.
Because in Chicago, we had the same type of situation that, you know, if the families would have known and kept, they went through different periods and maybe like in the 70s and the 80s, it wasn't so great and it wasn't worth much. And now today, like you said, we'd all be gazillionaires because it's just through the roof, yeah. The value of these properties. But
so, I mean, I live outside the city. It's only 9 miles away, so I still get to go to church, et cetera, in the North End, buy food. The food's important. And then, but getting back to my family. So yeah, so the four brothers all lived, if you look at the census, 19 Fleet Street, everybody's at Fachillo and, you know, all four floors, you know, they all packed them in. And then two of my uncles, I don't know why, they moved to a place called Rockland, which is not even a suburb. It was like farmland, you know, now it's a suburb. And my uncle, who was born in Italy in the 1920s, became the chief of police in Rockland. And I'm like, and I, you know, I'd hear the stories from my mother because she was a really good storyteller. And I sort of believed her, but I really didn't. And, you know, I said, the guy doesn't speak English. But he learned English very quickly. He was educated in Italy. But so he spoke and wrote in both languages, which I think for someone born in 1875 is pretty good.
And another fascinating story of the family. Yeah, I mean,
Well, and that's in the book where the subject, can I talk about that? The subchapter?
Absolutely. You can talk about whatever you want, Peggy.
Again, all of this is based on my mother, right? And she says, you know, this was during Prohibition. Of course, you know, I know what Prohibition is. And she said, apparently he was really good at catching people making bootlegging. And I thought, that's good. Good for Uncle John. Oh, and everybody changed their name. He was really Giovanni, but, you know, they anglicized everything. And on the front page of the Globe, which is our major paper, it was Joseph Fucillo got arrested, that's my father, for transporting legal liquor, all of it is legal, but, you know, from Rockland to Boston. And he was in jail and all of this stuff. And that's all true. I mean, whether it's true or not, but it's printed in the Globe, right? And I was able to find it. And to this day, and then the next morning, the papers were like morning, afternoon, they would publish three times a day. And so that was the evening edition. The morning edition had, that was a mistake, basically. He really didn't do it. Okay. So I don't know. They could have had a little side job where, you know, my uncle confiscated the liquor and then my father would sell it up here. I don't know. But I tried to make these chapters kind of funny because I would put like, you're too young to remember this song, but it's called In the Still of the Night. And so I put that as one of the titles of the chapters. But so Uncle John, he died in the 60s. He left a bunch of kids, you know, relatives, and all of them are still in the Rockland area, which is south of Boston. But there were a lot of funny stories from that family because my other uncle, Uncle Ralph, he became the water commissioner. So I don't know, of Rockland, and they had a lot of lakes, but I don't know what else they had. So it was good that I was able to get this information true or not of the part about my father
Well,
selling the
definitely.
food.
And I wanted to, touch on that later about, acquiring all the information. Tell me where mom's family's from in Italy.
She's from Arola, which is in Campania, in the province of Benevento. If you look at a map of Italy, there's two major cities there, Benevento and Caserta. So Arola is in the middle. And it was an area that I'm not actually sure why they came. The agricultural part was my father's. They had no money. He went back and forth. But my mother's father, I never met him. He was either an owner, a part owner, had something to do with Victor Emmanuel, the king, who's had a summer residence there. If you go to Caserta, you can see it. And so I don't understand why they came. And my grandmother was born in 1881, and she could read and write. That's like highly unusual for a woman in 1881 to read and write. So I'm not sure why they came, but and the other part was the whole family came. My grandmother, my grandfather, my great grandmother, my great grandfather, and my grandmother with her two sisters. So that was whatever they paid to get on the boat. I want to make it clear there were no requirements for passports. Visas did not exist. So they just paid somebody and they got on they got on the boat. But that's a lot of people to get on the boat from one family. So they had to have saved up a lot to come.
And they
And
settled in Boston, I assume.
they were in Boston. Everybody pretty much came to the North End. And my great grandfather was a bootblack. So he had this really good, yeah, I
What is
didn't know what
that?
it meant. It you shine shoes on the street.
Oh, and they call that a what? A boot black?
Boot black.
Okay, never heard that. Okay.
Neither. No. So that was his occupation when he got here. And they didn't have much money. The one thing they did was try and get the girls married. And they weren't very successful with that. My grandfather died after 3 years of marriage to my grandmother. They went back to Italy. They didn't have any money, and he died in Italy. He had TB, and he got TB here. He didn't like come in with it. He had TB here, so he died in Italy. And then they came back because they figured they were poor there; they could be poor here. And then they came back, and they came back with my mother because she was born in Italy. So, and that's their story. But they were dirt poor, like no shoes poor.
Have you traveled to Italy before?
Oh yeah.
Okay, you've been to these towns where the family's from in Campania?
I in Campania, I've been to my aunt's town, San Sosio. But I have not been. I've been to Benevento. I have not been to Cusano. I'm trying to get there on my next trip. I'm going to Sicily, but there's, all roads lead to Rome. They don't lead to Cusano, so I'm trying to, because I'm taking a plane from Rome right into Sicily. So I'm trying to get to, but a friend of mine who went there, she said in the cemetery, which is always behind the church, or side of it, right close by, there's only one church in the town. It's like 1,800 people, these small places, and they never moved. Nobody moved anywhere at that point until the great age of immigration. But there's like four major families in that graveyard. And they all intermarried, so when I did the genealogy, I could go back so far. And I'm like, why are you doing that, Peggy? Yeah, you don't even know these people. They're still going to be either Cataldos, Della Russos, Fucillos, or Rappuccis. And I have two of those names. I have a Rappucci is my grandmother. My grandfather is a Fucillo. So,
Well, speaking of, did to complete the book, because the book is about your family story. Did you need to go to Italy to acquire some information, or were you able to do that all from home?
No, there's a site in Italy, which, you know, you have to pay like $25 at least to go on Ancestry. And that's just for stuff that happened in the States, but where my family was mainly in Italy. So I went to Antinati, which is the site that you can go on, which is free. And you think, oh my God, Italy, it's going to be so confusing and, you know, disorganized, you know, all the stereotypes of what you think of Italy is. But it's quite good. So I was able to go back using that site. You have to really be able to decipher the handwriting. But the other part is typed, which is... they went back and now it's digitalized. It's really quite good. So if you need like a last name, you need a town or at least a province, and you can dig up a lot of the lot. You really can. I mean, I was surprised. I mean, I felt like Nancy Drew, you know, like I was looking for one relative that, you know, kind of ended how far back I wanted to go. And I found it. It was like, Eureka, you know, I found it, you know. And that was a Rappucci.
Were the relatives here, were they helpful in giving you information?
No, because all my older, I'm the youngest of my generation. So the oldest of my generation are either too old or they don't care. And there, can you hold on 1 second?
Absolutely.
What he's eating? What are you eating?
Peggy, Margaret has a dog and she's attending to the dog. And that's very nice.
Oh. All right, I'm back. So I was pretty much, left alone with my uncle Tony Polcari, and he had the misfortune to marry into our family. Their family was very normal, and my family was a little, on my mother's side, my father's side, they were fine, but my mother's side was a little disjointed. And I think definitely because of the trauma of my great-grandfather dying while going back and forth to Italy and whatnot and being so poor. But my Uncle Tony had a lot of information because he was my father's best friend. So he died. He was 2 months out of being 100. So he had a lot of wealth of knowledge. You know.
Are you an only child?
Yes.
Okay, I thought that from the book. So how long did the process take you when you decided I want to do this book to actually it being published?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to say COVID, right? What are you going to do? But I was teaching writing and to English as second language students at the community college here. And one of the things that you have to do when you're teaching writing to new people or to anybody is to write about what you know. And I asked them, well, you know, do you want to write about the country? Give me an idea. Everybody wanted to write about their family. So I gave them an exemplar. And this is when COVID hadn't really hit yet. This was 2019. So I gave them an exemplar of my grandmother's story on my mother's side. And that was the one whose husband died of TB. Her father was a bootblack. So they had an interesting story. So I wrote that and I sent it to somebody, you know, more embellished than what I wrote for my students. And they said, this is great. You should keep writing. And that was 2019. And at the end of 2019, I guess. And the book was published 2023.
Was it difficult to get it published?
No, it was not difficult because Bob Sorrentino We worked together on doing some projects, and he was getting published by this particular company, so I followed suit.
And that's
Yeah.
Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and
Yeah.
Genealogy, the famous
Yeah.
Bob Sorrentino.
Yes.
Hell of a guy, Bob Sorrentino. Okay. Well, that's
From
nice that he
Puglia,
helped.
from Puglia.
Yes. Bob goes back. Bob is amazing because his book goes back to like before Christ. I just like, how can you get all this information? It's amazing. But
And my answer is, and why?
yeah, right.
I stopped when I started seeing 1600s. I just said that's it. But he has nobility on one side of his family. In Italy, no, I have no idea what this guy's got. But he has dog food, and I've got the dog food right here. I don't know how he's what he's eating, but I got to go back. I'm sorry.
Okay, no. It's Margaret Peggy. A second break for the dog.
No.
I believe San Francesco d'Assisi would be very proud of her. I believe he was the patron saint of animals. And there's always a picture of San Francesco with a dog. And that's just our little American moment, or brief Italian American moment.
Okay, just so you believe me of what he's eating. I
All
think
right.
He can see me, but he just ate a cat food can.
Yes. Oh, that's not
See
good.
that?
Yeah, we shouldn't mix the dogs and the cats. But regardless, okay. So Bob Sorrentino was very helpful.
Yeah,
that's
extremely.
Good. Okay, and you completed a great book. And you know, it's funny with the title "La Gioia e il Dolore." After I read the book, there was a good amount of dolore. There really was, and you wrote about it. And you know what? I love it because it's real. And you really did lay it out, which is very nice. And do you have some new projects coming up as far as your writing goes?
Yeah, I just finished. I don't know where this is going to go, but I told you about my Uncle Tony. His youngest brother was killed in World War II. I was not born yet. And as many people who got bad news, they never talked about it. The family was destroyed because they thought he was coming home. It was April 17th at the end of the war when he died. So I just am inquisitive. And before my uncle died, I got some information, not too much, but a little bit. And it ended up that I found out through Facebook. The army had, I think it's a battalion Facebook, and I'm looking for whatever, Angelo Polcari, and somebody from Bologna, an Italian, gave me the information I was looking for about, and he was killed by a landmine when the Germans were retreating. So it gave me closure, and, you know, I'm writing about that now. It'll probably go into the I belong to the Historical Society, so in the North End, so it'll probably go in there. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe other people want that closure or want to know. And it wasn't really, I mean, when I got the message from Bologna, I'm like, who is it? And it just, maybe that's another, you know, maybe that's going to be another book, but it's definitely an article that's going in. But currently, hopefully, it has to be done by July, is a story about a priest in the North End. And he literally lived around the corner from the people, my Uncle Tony and my Uncle Angelo. And I visit him about every other week because he's in a nursing home now. And he's going to be 90 in July. So the book is a tribute to him. And he is, you can't, like one of the parts in the book that it is his niece is writing, we were going to get pizza. Now, again, the North End is not big, right? We're going to get pizza. It was maybe 5, 10 minutes away from the church. And it took 30 minutes. to get there because everybody in the street stopped and talked to him. I wanted to see how he was, what he was doing. This was a while ago now when he was sick, but that's, he just had this charisma. And I can't say enough about him. I said that I was going to be on a show. Can I talk about you on the show? He said, of course.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That sounds like a great subject, and I look forward to reading it.
It's good. It'll be good.
That is excellent. I do have to mention one thing that I thought was really, you know, unique. In the book you sent me, you wrote in the front cover, you wrote Margaret. I don't know why you didn't write Peggy, but that's okay. I'm just kidding. Margaret Chillo, never forget your heritage. And I like that. And I can, you know, just talking with you, believe in that, correct?
Yeah, it's, and again, I have relatives that, oh, I wrote the book, right? Well, yeah, okay, you wrote the book, fine. I don't, you know, they don't care. And then I have relatives that really do care and they want to learn more. But as a whole, as the country, you know, I'm just not talking about Italians, we're forgetting who we are. I really am passionate about, and not just because I, you know, teach, I probably have had 100 different countries in my class, and, you know, they can't just drop it all and Americanize their name and forget about where they came from.
I agree 100%. Yes. Well, Margaret, tell me, where can we find your book?
My book is on Amazon, all of those sites. But I'm going to be honest, I get like 25 cents out of that book when it sells there. So it can be bought by, through me. And then the charity that the book, none of the money is mine. It goes to a charity, an orphanage in Guatemala.
Oh, okay. So, and now do you have a website or how do they, someone contact
they
you?
They can go just right to my email. Arola, 1893 at AOL.com.
Okay.
And it's a lot cheaper than what Amazon has tried. But I mean, I don't know. I know that Bob does the same thing too, you know, because Amazon is, they're not contributing to the authors, they're contributing.
Right. Yes. Oh, that's totally understandable. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time and a very interesting book, and you're a very interesting lady, and keep writing, okay?
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate talking with you today.
Thank you.
Everybody have a good Saturday.